Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by SonicWeb Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific lady out of Queens, New York, who's a freelance artist, writer, and art educator specializing in a variety of visual and written mediums, including a number of short stories, poetry, graphic design illustrations, hand painting, murals, and more. She began her career at a very young age at 3, picking up a paintbrush, and continue on through school and into Queens College, and also shares her works and stories throughout the community and in art shows, open mic nights, etc. And a new book features a summary of musings to inspire the inner muse and rise from the embers of snooze. What's that about with tabs, mantras, tales, creativity, childhood dreams, all kinds of stuff. And what are these musings? We'll find out just one minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, at Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Queens, multi-talented New York City freelance artist, writer, and art educator with the new book, Musings Diner, open 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, the cafe is open, and the very, very multi-talented Deborah Kemp. Deborah, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good evening to you as well, Mike. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's great to have you on board too, Deborah, and looked forward to being on the show, your book and everything. You're a New York freelance artist, writer, art educator, specializing in a variety of visual and written mediums, including basically short stories, poetry, graphic design, and hand painting murals. You began a career at a young age at 3, picking up a paintbrush, and continued through school and to Queens College, and you shared your stories, works throughout the community, open mic nights, art shows, everything else, and your new book, Musings Diner, open 24/7 on Amazon. It's basically a summary of musings to inspire the inner muse, rise from the embers of snooze, and tales, mantra, creativity, childhood dreams, tales from your life, and more. And before getting all that, Deborah, tell us how you first got started.
Well, I first got started from my family. I was surrounded by a whole host of artists, starting with my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. So he was the founding artist father in my life.
Wow.
He started painting in his late 70s, and he passed away at 104.
Wow.
So yes, he had a very long...
Almost a lifetime painter, practically.
Yep. He started later in life, though. He picked it up, and he saw this was his passion. That's why I say it's never too late to start. You know, it's never too early to start. If you have a dream, go for it like he did. And he was one of the first people in my life to inspire me. I used to watch him paint scenes of Italy and horses. And then I used to watch my grandmother make sketches and my mother make caricatures and animals. Wow. So my whole maternal side of my family inspired me, and they nurtured this love of arts and creativity. So ever since I was small, I've always wanted to have coloring books and crayons, pencils. That was the thing that I always gravitated towards. And also being surrounded by Disney movies and admiring the animation, I used to say to my mom, I said, oh, mommy, I want to do that one day. I want to draw caricatures. I want to draw doggies and kitties. And she used to encourage me and say, here you go. Here's a pen. Here's a paper. Go for it. And then she would hang it all over the house. And I always make this joke. I used to be so enthusiastic about drawing as a child. I used to take the crayon when nobody was looking, and I would draw on the walls. And my mom would say, no, what are you doing? I said, oh, you know, now I say to her, you see, I was just practicing, you know, for my career later in life. See, now I do this for a living. I draw on people's walls. But when I was little, I drew on the kitchen walls. So, you know, I find it funny that, you know, from a young age, that's where the seed came from, being inspired first and foremost through my maternal side of my family. And then later on, when I entered into school, of course, that was my favorite subject, the arts. And I just followed it all throughout elementary school, middle school. I got into the Bravo program, which was a program specializing in music and art. And then for high school, instead of going to my zone school, I wanted to go to Bayside High School, which had a specialty in the art program. Ooh. So I wanted to make sure I got the highest level of education in the arts. So I was willing to sacrifice with the train and bus an hour and a half each way the travel was. So instead of walking 5 minutes to my zoned school, I said, it's worth the trip. Let me go. out of my way to a school that specializes in this, you know, so I can learn as much as I can, because I was hungry for learning about anything I can about the arts, about techniques, you know, about, you know, different subject matters to paint. So that's what I ended up doing. And then I followed it into college. So I said, you know what, let me get my Bachelor of Fine Arts, because I want to make this a career. Nice. And that was in my mind since I was three. And I went all the way to college, got my Bachelor of Fine Arts. Then it mm-hmm. went into teaching the arts, and then eventually starting my own business in the arts. So that's how it all started, first with my family, and then with the devotion and persistence of my teachers bringing that out within me.
Oh my gosh, that is a story and a half right there. And of course, you know, you're picking up a paintbrush at three, and of course, watching your grandfather paint and everything. There what is. Was that one? Oh, nice. Look at that. You just made that.
Yeah, so I use this a lot when I perform different pieces of my poetry. So when you say paintbrush, it just so happened to be near me. And I want to paint a whole array of colors. So that's what I've been doing, and I'll continue to pursue.
Oh my gosh, that's so bright and cheery. I love it. Great. You can just keep waving like crazy. We encourage you to do that. And of course, you talk about the paintbrush, you know, like I said, and, you know, 3 years old, watching your grandpa paint. What exact event that precisely said, hit a light bulb and said, I'm going to do this?
Well, I think I would say probably in high school, when one of my teachers was encouraging me to pursue not just the visual art, but the written art. I want to give a lot of credit to the late Dr. Stephen Mermelstein. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, I found out. Mm-hmm. But I want to give him credit for really believing in my abilities. And he was encouraging me to, you know, do something with my art and with my writing. And he says, you're going to do something in this life. I believe in you. You know, you're very gifted, and I want to see you do something with it. You know, don't waste it. He says, don't just throw it to the side. So he really set that light bulb up in my head that, wow, you know, now I have people outside of my family believing in me and cheering me on. I wish he was still here today. I wanted to share the book with him, but I know he can still see in spirit. So I know he's cheering me on from there.
and raising a little flag up there to him and getting his attention so you can do that too. So, and of course, you know, you mentioned Disney characters and everything else. Who were some of your favorite Disney characters growing up?
Oh, The Lion King was one of my favorites. Ooh, in 1994. Nice. I loved the story, and I always gravitated towards animals. I'm a huge animal lover. I had dogs and cats my whole life. Wow. So any Disney movie that was oriented to pets, like 101 Dalmatians, Lady and the Tramp, The Lion King, The Aristocats, all those animals that were so colorful, animated, they had a story to tell. My eyes went like this when I saw them. And sometimes what I used to do, I used to pause the Disney movies and I would sketch them.
Ah, you know,
just to try and capture them. I would love to try to do that with the VHS tape. So I would try to capture their little, you know, gestures. And then sometimes when I wasn't looking, I tried to draw them from memory just to practice. And then that led me to try to invent some of my own characters. But they had that Disney feel to them. So I have a ton of sketches in my attic. It's a whole museum up there of my work from childhood to now. My mom was very precious with those things from my past. She cherished them because she knows how important art was to her and how art is to our family and to me. So she wanted to make sure to keep them there so I could watch the progress of the styles of my art as I grew up throughout the years.
Oh my gosh, I miss the days of VHS tape. When you mention it, you put a stop on it, you want to do something, everything like that. Now it's like DVD is a bit of a challenge. It's like, can you actually pause streaming trying to you know, write characters? It might be a bit difficult if you're streaming.
Yeah, I could imagine so. I mean, we had it back in the days where, yeah, it was a simpler time, so it was easier to do that with the TV. Just pause, record, rewind, fast forward. So, you know, I grew up in that culture. I'm a millennial, so I grew up right at the precipice where half of my childhood was in analog and half of my childhood was in digital. So I got to experience the best of both worlds.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. You're one of the very few people who experience analog and digital, where it's just like, you know, I'm all digital. That's it. Analog is almost like another, dimension to them. And, besides with Disney characters, who are some of your favorite artists that are growing up? And also writers and authors as well, favorite books.
Well, I love Salvador Dali. I'm heavily inspired by the psychedelic era and surrealism. So that was a huge influence in my work because I love to draw things not as you see, but as you see them, not with these eyes, but with this eye here, when you're not looking with your visual
the
eyes.
Third eye. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So with the dream world, I adored looking at that type of work. And I also love, movie makers like Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. So I love the way he puts his quirky characters in all these strange worlds like Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice. So growing up, I always gravitated towards the quirky, the ones that were kind of the odd ones out and misunderstood because I could relate to those type of characters and I could empathize with them. And I loved watching them become the hero of the world. So the way Tim Burton would portray them, and for musical inspirations, I love so much music, but I would have to narrow it down. Let's see. I love Meatloaf for his drama and
music.
Well,
2 out of 3 ain't bad. I gotta say that. So,
and of course, behind Meatloaf, there is Jim Steinman. So I love his songwriting and how dramatic the flair is and the storytelling. I love Queen, huge Queen and Brian May fan as well. Freddie Mercury.
Oh yes.
So, very gravitating towards that. And the Carpenters. I loved Karen. She had the voice of an angel. So to see her fragility and the way she writes the stories and sings them and projects them to the world, it really moved me emotionally. So I would say some of those are some influences in the media world, in the art world. So what I would have to say.
And the best thing about Karen Carpenter, she is one heck of a drummer.
Oh, yes. That's how she started. And she eventually came out of her shell and she became the front woman for the band. I mean, it was sad to see what happened to her later in life.
Oh, it was. Yes.
You know, because, you could see all the potential that she had she have survived and overconquered all of that. You know, but she did leave a lasting legacy and she continues to inspire to this very day all generations. I did not grow up in the 70s. I was born in 1985, mm-hmm. but I was surrounded by so much music from all eras, from the swinging 40s to the psychedelic 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So my mom, she gave me a huge array of artists to listen to. And Prince is another one of my favorite artists. I love the way that, he conveys his artistry, not just in songs, but converts it into movies as well and mini videos for his music. So,
how do you like that? One of the big inspirations, and you're about to be an inspiration yourself, or you are in New York City. You got Musings Diner open 24/7 with the multi-talented Deborah Campbell. Talk more about that, but first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com. Powered by SonicWeb Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. SonicWeb Studios is the answer. SonicWeb Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support@sonicwebstudios.com. Mention Mike Wagner's show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout out to our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in 4 countries, 2 strangers, 1 target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia's got great reviews. And evil evidence endorsed by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forge Riley, Eminem's. So grab your copy today for goes Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com and our 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Apple Music, Odyssey. Follow us on BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. And also, check us out on Podbean, Pandora, TuneIn. And also, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and more. Make sure you take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to amazon.com/mia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also t-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. amazon.com/mia. Check it out today and support the Mike Weiner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and the MikeWeinerShow.com. Here with the multi-talented New York City freelance artist, writer, and art educator specializing in a variety of visuals, Deborah Kemp here on the Mike Weiner Show. Not only that, she's also got the book Musings Diner open 24/7. And before we take a plunge into the diner, and you basically shared your work some throughout the area in your community, art shows, open mics, and just about everything else. And you've done a lot of work in New York City. And you also mentioned you also ran a small business as well, or if I'm correct, you currently run a small business. And tell us more about
that. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes. So for the past 13 years, I've been running my own freelance art mural business.
Nice.
So how that came about was, before I started doing this, I was doing some teaching in the art here and there, and I was doing some odd jobs here and there. I was a cashier, I was a school aide, but I felt that, you know, I went to college, I got my degree, but I'm not living up to my fullest potential yet. I want to make an impact in the world, specifically with my visual art. And this is mm-hmm. how I was thinking about 13 years ago. And the opportunity came completely by chance. I was just looking on Craigslist. You heard of the job site Craigslist. So,
oh yeah, I think many of us have done that. That was like big around the 90s, got to 2000. That was the number one until Facebook came around, and that all
exactly
changed.
So this was a little bit before Facebook became big. So I was looking through the creative gigs, and I saw there was a call for a window artist, and I never painted windows before this. I painted large scale canvases, you know, and I did large scale drawings, but I never painted directly on glass. But mm-hmm. that didn't stop me from applying, because the subject matter appealed to me. It was a pet shop.
And they wanted, you like that?
Yeah, so they wanted to see who could come up with the concept to show that their pet shop is the winning team versus the other competitors, which mm-hmm. were the losing team. So they asked everybody who applied to draw a concept for it. So I made a concept for them. I explained it to them. But I also was honest to them and said, I never painted on a window before, but I would love, you know, to apply all the techniques I've learned of painting large scale 8 feet canvases, big canvases. Maybe I can apply that to your window. So they called me in, and they believed in me enough to give me that opportunity. They gave me that chance. And I was so enthralled with the window painting. At first, I practiced at home on some smaller glass panes to see how it would work. And then I built some confidence as I was practicing before I went to the actual job to paint the window on site. And of course, at first I was a little bit slower than I am now, but it didn't matter. I got it done. They were very happy with the results. And I said, I love this. I wonder if more people would need a window painting, because this was for the spring, summertime. Mm-hmm. But apparently I found out around Christmas time, people love this. And
oh, wow. So it's become a year round thing.
Yeah. So after that, I found a bakery in my area not too far, and I showed them my first and only window I've painted, but I've also showed them my portfolio from college and high school, and they said, yeah, do our Christmas painting, we would love that. So I did that, and they said, hey, why don't you come back for the spring and Valentine's, could you do our window again? And then from there, it kind of
snowballed. And when it comes to bakery, they probably gave you free donuts, cake, bread, and all kinds of goodies.
Oh, yes. They're very nice. Yeah. So usually when I work for food places, even if it's not a food place, a lot of people have the common courtesy and decency. You know, they offer me a cup of coffee, you know, because that's something I would do if you were, you know, working for me, because I know you're working hard. You're probably a little hungry or a little thirsty. So that's very nice that they would offer that in addition to compensating me for my time and, you know, admiring my work and passing the recommendation to others. And then as I was painting it, eventually what happened was, at the pharmacy I was working at, I had to keep taking days off to squeeze in more and more clients. And they said, hey, we don't like this. You know, you're taking too much time off. I said, I have another window gig. Then they said, you know what? You have to decide. Are you going to stay with us, or are you going to do the freelance thing? And it was a big gamble. I actually have a poem here called Choice of Regret or Rejoice.
Oh, so yes. You know what? You know what? I want to hear that. And if you want to wave your little thing, you can do this so as well. So if you got some poems to read, I mean, have at it. This is your time. It's not about me. It's about you, Deborah.
So yeah, this is exactly what it reminded me of. So this is a short story. So my book is a combination of art, poetry, and short stories. So this one, Choice of Regret or Rejoice, I'm about to go into it in 1 minute. So that's what I mean. At that moment, I had a choice. I could either stay at that job for the rest of my life and regret it later, or, you know, and I would be this lady here regretting my choice in the rocking chair, upset. Or am I going to be the choice of rejoice? And I'll be this lady over here, happy that, you know, I took the chance on my art, and I'm glad I did, because it kept snowballing. And now it opened up so many doors of opportunity. So I was very excited about that. And that's how it all started, with my freelance business. And then it grew into painting walls for people. It grew into making, menu boards for people, private commissions for people. And, you know, then winning a mural contest recently because I entered that, and then writing my own book because I went to open mic nights, and, you know, promoting that and getting my story out there, promoting mental health awareness and teaching art to adults, to children. So it just kind of blew up from there, and I'm just going to keep going. So I'm going to read this little short story I wrote.
Absolutely. So, help yourself.
All right. So there's the illustration. So what happened first, the illustration came first, and then the story came after. So Choice of Regret or Rejoice.
Okay.
The curtains of the night draw open to reveal what has been concealed from the world's influence. A little girl embarking on her life journey, emerging from a paused time portal. She will choose which path she will take in life as the dueling dichotomies of these polar opposite paths reveal themselves in future projections of darkness and light. A question mark hovers above the split slide that she will embark upon as she throws the dice to reveal this slice. She is still a blank slate awaiting her fate that lies within the hands of time, clapping together with each passing second. One path leads to a tumultuous, churning storm of emotions of resentment, regret, bitterness, and despair of the goals that she aspired for as a child before she was derailed onto this dark path. If only she had stayed true to her inner artistic light that was beckoning for her since birth. In her twilight years, she shed endless tears of sorrow, locked in her rocking chair yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The journey has been a lonely and tireless one, and she tried so hard to follow her heart, only to be dismayed and weighed down by the words of bullies echoing in her brain, symbolized by the ball and chain, holding her back, even in her old age, in this late life stage. Her windows of opportunity have slammed shut so many times that she has decided to throw away her hopes and dreams to settle for an ordinary life instead of an extraordinary life that she envisioned many moons ago. The cracks on the wall represent her shattered psyche as the purple shadow figures all linger around as a reminder of her failures in various stages of her life. Yet, if this little girl chooses to follow the call of her heart to create art, and persevere, no matter how the opposition around her becomes severe, she will be elevated and empowered by her ironclad will to abolish her fears. Her determination and inner drive keep climbing to unprecedented heights, beckons the glass elevator to open up, to release her into a world where all of her aspirations have come to fruition, as told by her positive intuition. She is a children's book author and illustrator, has her work showcased in galleries worldwide, and most importantly of all, she has made a rippling impact on society to inspire others to aspire and tap into their true creative calling. As she gently rocks in her whimsical rocking chair, she takes a moment to reflect on how she has gotten onto this path where she feels fulfilled and at peace with her decisions. The little blue figures all around represent the various stages of her life where she discovered her inner iridescent sparkle within her spirit and decided to cascade it across the globe for a rippling effect to everyone's abode. She has unlocked her path with the key to success by believing in herself and trying her very best. Which path will you choose to follow to predict your present until tomorrow?
Wow, that was amazing. Bravo. Woo, I love that one.
Thank you so much. So this could apply to anyone's journey in life. It could be for somebody pursuing the arts, pursuing a music career, a teaching career, or even someone trying to lose weight or to eat healthier. It could apply to anything that you have a goal for. Are you going to go for that goal? Are you going to get others to knock you off of that trail? So it's up to you, the choice of regret or rejoice.
That is really good one. I love that one. I mean, you got a lot of great ventures, and also that we also noted too that you also see dead people in Maple Grove. So tell us more about that.
Oh, yes. So on May 11th, I'm going to be one of the actors featured at Maple Grove Cemetery. The play is called Spirits Alive Anthology. So what we're going to do, there are people that are buried there, and we want to resurrect their stories, their histories, to a fresh new audience that might not have heard of them before. This is a way to keep their memory and spirit alive. So for me, I'm going to be playing the part of Muriel Pack de Maria. So she was a ballerina dancer turned ice skater later in life. Mm-hmm. She was born in Brooklyn in 1917. And the great part about my person that I'm going to be playing is there's a living descendant that's going to be coming. Her daughter is nice. Going to be attending. Oh, so I am very excited that I get the honor to play her mom on the stage and to convey her memory and her legacy so others could learn about her and to pursue their passion the way she pursued her dance passion. She was at Radio City Music Hall as a ballerina.
Oh my gosh, that is so great as well, too. And of course, you know, besides your book, what else do you have going on?
So I have a upcoming mural project that I entered a contest for a couple of months ago in Long Island City. It's going to be at Hunter's Point for a place called Otto Minelli by the Water. So the theme of the contest was community unity. So we were supposed to draw an idea to represent that. So I entered the contest back in February, and they said they would announce the winners by April 1st. I heard nothing April 1st, so I figured, oh,
I probably didn't win. It must be an April Fool's joke.
It probably was, because April 11th, I get an email saying, congratulations, you have been chosen to participate in the Community Unity Project. And I was stoked. I was so excited because I've entered... Thank you. I entered many contests in the past and I've failed. I haven't won, but that doesn't stop me because I keep trying. I actually have a poem in my book called The Persistent Knocker. It's one of my favorite poems. So what that poem talks about is keep knocking on all different doors because you never know when the right door is going to open for you. So don't let, you know, a door slamming in your face deter you from trying again, you know? So that's what I did. That's actually going to be coming up later this month. So I do have, I printed out the idea that I drew. Let me see if you guys can see it. So this is my
concept. Can you bring up a little closer for our viewers here?
Yeah, so if you can see, it's a whole garden. So I wanted to draw people emerging out of all different colored flowers. And they actually have a garden like this at Hunter's Point, which has rails. And it has an actual heart sculpture like this, but it doesn't have the DNA. So I put the DNA structure in there to show that we're all connected together. When we unite, we're the pulse and diversity of Queens, New York. And we could all come together and grow and blossom in the garden, all of different ages, different stages, different races. We all unite together as one to grow in this garden. So that was my theme that I wanted to paint. And I'm going to have this done probably in a week or two. So they're going to let me know the date because they just ordered the paint for me. So once that comes, they're going to have me paint it live. And the beauty of that is I get to interact with all the people walking by. That's another highlight that I love to do when I'm painting. I get to speak from people of all walks of life. I get to hear how their connection is to the art world. You know, they tell me they used to draw when they were younger, but they stopped. So I always try to encourage them to pick it up again. So that's what I love to do while I'm creating. I love to inspire people, and, you know, I want them to go for it again. Or mm-hmm. if they never tried it before, I encourage them to start small. You know, I like to give them little tips about how you can start as an artist. And if they say, oh, I don't know how to draw for anything, I don't have any talent, that is not true. Everybody has a talent somewhere. Everybody. I can't sing, but I love to hear other singers. So see, like I could be like, what good is sitting alone in your room? Like, yeah, I don't have the voice at all, but it's okay because I like to write. I like to draw out of sight. So it's okay. You know, you can admire others' talents, but you also have your own strength. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, a visual art or a musical art. It could be the art of being, you know, a listening ear, a good friend, a great mother. That's an art in itself, because not everybody is. So if you have that, that's a gift in itself. So if you have your health as well, you know, that's very valuable. So I always try to uplift people. You know, I find that little thing within them. If they put themselves down, I say, hey, no, that's not true. Don't put yourself down so quickly. Don't write yourself off. You do have something within you. Mm-hmm. And I ask them about what's their passion. What's the thing that wakes them up? What's the thing they're excited about? And at first they might not have the answer right away, but then they go back to their childhood. That's another thing my book talks a lot about, is the inner child, celebrating them, because that's where all the creative ideas come from. Because when you're a child, you know, you're not contaminated yet by the world's thoughts. You know, you have a mind that's seeing through new eyes for the first time. So everything wows you. Like you could see a mask like this and say, wow, you know, like you're looking at it like, wow, I want to make something like that. But then as you become an adult, you know, like the world gets in the way, you have experiences. So, you know, I try to say, you know, what was something you loved as a child? And then they say, oh, I used to love to dance. I don't do that anymore. That's childish. That's silly. I'm like, no, it's not silly. You know, when nobody's watching, dance in your room.
There you know,
you don't have to. It doesn't matter. If you love it, do it. And then when you build more confidence, maybe then you can portray it to an audience. But whenever you're ready, never force something, you know, until it's the right time. That's what I always say. So
right.
That's one of the exciting things going on right now, is that mural project. So I am very psyched about it.
And so, certainly do as well, too. And more in the book, Musings Diner, open 24/7. And what are the other benefits of the book? Maybe one more reading from Deborah Campbell. We'll find out just 1 minute. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SoundCrab Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Moses, The Missing. We'll be back with the multi-talented freelance artist and author of the book, Musings Diner, open 24/7, Deborah Camp, after this time. We're back to the amazing multi-talented Deborah Camp of Musings Diner, open 24/7 here on The Mike Wagner Show. And just one more thing about the book as well, too. Not only you, you know, purchase a book and, you know, all kinds of musings, letting out your inner muse and everything like that. It makes a great travel companion and also makes a great, perfect gift as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for introducing it that way. That's what I want to do with my book. I want it to help people heal from any trauma that might have happened to them in the past, any emotional trauma, you know, even physical trauma. What I do with this book is I put all of my experiences within it, but I feel like a lot of them can be relatable to others because, you know, we all have a common story. We all have been through obstacles in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those obstacles make us feel stuck. You know, we feel like we can't get out. Sometimes you just need a little bit of a push, you know, a little bit of a inspiration, a musing, if you want to say that. And that's where it came from. So I want that out there to encourage all ages. You know, I want children to read this and say, oh, maybe when I grow up, I could be an artist. I could be a writer. I could be a poet. I could be a teacher. I could be anything I want to be. But that's the thing. You have to put persistence. You have to put dedication, love, care, and never give up. So that's what I also taught in my art classes, when I would teach people, you know, to think outside the box, because that's how I liked to teach, in an unconventional way. So instead of having my students, oh, there's a tree, draw the tree, and that's the end of that. No, there's the tree. Where do you want to put the tree?
Oh, good point.
I put it in the middle, but where do you want to put it? It's up to you. Do you want to put it high up on there? Do you want to put it lower? Do you want to put it in the middle? How big do you want your tree? Is it a baby tree? Is it a giant old oak tree? So like, I would ask people, where are you going to put it? And it's amazing. After the class, you would see, this happened in my adult class as well. So my adult painting class, I just taught in the library in December. It was my first adult painting class, and I was thrilled to have it. And I look forward to having more opportunities to teach adults as well in the future. So what I did was, not only did I teach them a very open-ended type of art, I also showed them how to paint using not just paintbrushes, but instead of the paintbrush, we use Q-tips and cotton balls.
Oh, nice. That's a good idea. Yes. I like that one.
Yes, because you can achieve a lot of textures with that. And it shows people and challenges them to think outside of the box of the traditional realm. Because an artist doesn't always have to use a traditional tool or media in order to convey an idea. So because we painted a cherry blossom tree, the Q-tips were all bundled up with different sizes. So we had 2 Q-tips bundled up, 3, 4, 5, you know, to make different effects. And I gave them the tools, and I showed them how to dip it in the paint and make little patterns with it. And then with the Q-tip, how we would wring it out and squeeze it out, mm-hmm. you know, in order to get it more translucent to the paint. So instead of using just the paintbrush, we used totally different tools that you could just find in your cabinet, you know, in the bathroom. So that way, when they go home, that inspires them. Hey, I could still paint, even though I don't have a paintbrush. I have all this other stuff. Maybe I could try this. Maybe I could try that. Because that is the mind of a true artist, is to think outside the box, not just confining yourself and conform to the norm of what art should be traditionally. Because, you know, there is a lot of, you know, concepts of how art is. You know, you mm-hmm. have your realistic art, you have your surrealistic art, you have your abstract art, your expressionism. So that's the beauty of it. It could be conveyed in many forms. And that's what I want my students to take home with them, not just the completed piece, but ideas. I want to plant seeds in their mind for them to make more things when they get home.
That is certainly amazing. And where can we find the book, Musings Diner, open 24/7 at?
You can find it right on Amazon. So I have it available as a paperback. I also have it available as a hardcover and an ebook. So I have 3 choices for people to choose from, depending on how they would like to read the book.
Oh, that's amazing. Very creative as well. And how do people get a hold of you, and what's your website?
All right. So I have a link tree. So my link tree is... Linktree Deborah Camp. And also you could find me on social media. So I use Instagram a lot. So on Instagram, it's Art by Deb Camp. So ArtbyDebCamp, Art by Deb Camp. And on Facebook, it's Art by Deborah Camp. So ART, and then there's a space, BY, a space, Deborah, DEBORAH, and then another space, Camp, CAMP. So those are the 2 main ways you can reach me on social media. And my link tree, it will connect you to all the articles I have written about my work, to my book. I also have an online shop where I sell merchandise of my graphic design work, on shirts, on mugs, on stickers. So a whole array. It's on Redbubble. So it's on my Redbubble shop, Deborah Camp.
All right. Well, certainly check that out. Makes a great gift 24/7. It's not just Christmas. It's all across year round. Really amazing multi-talent freelance artist, writer, art educator, in the book, Musings Diary, open 24/7. Deborah Camp here on the Mike Wagner Show. Just a few more things. You've been fantastic. What else can we expect in 2024 and beyond, Deborah?
So what I see projected is a children's book down the line, because that was actually the first idea that I wanted to portray as a book form. But because I had so much art and poetry put together, and I was inspired by open mics, you know, and people cheering me on for all my written pieces, mm-hmm. that came first, that book. But down the line, I want to create an original children's book with illustrations. So maybe something to do with mental health, you know, to teach a lesson to children, to have more empathy among each other. So it stems a lot from my personal experiences of being severely bullied as a child. So I want to put a book out there that deals with that theme, with that topic, but in an animated, creative way with a lot of color. So I see that coming down the line. I see more murals, more wall murals coming down the line. You know, I see more opportunities for wall murals, maybe a community mural, another one in my own neighborhood. I would love to do that. So I want to find a way to do a Woodhaven, Queens, New York City mural to summarize my entire childhood neighborhood in one piece and have it interactive. So maybe something where people can pose with it, take pictures with it, and leave with something within their heart from it. So I would like to do that. I would like to do a coloring book in the future.
Nice.
With my illustrations also for children and for adults. So that's another idea that I have brewing, another musing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a part two musing designer 24/7.
Hey, why not? I mean, maybe like online or virtual or something, maybe curbside.
Yeah, and then I want to go to more open mic nights, because not only do I like to share my poetry there and my art and my stories, I love hearing other people. I love hearing where their life story comes from, what is their inspiration, and they inspire me. It's like you know, like iron sharpens iron. So
you got that,
you know,
right.
To go to that place and to hear them, you know, share all these gifts from within. You know, it's very inspiring. Sometimes it moves me to tears because some of their stories, you know, they're about, you know, surviving and overcoming obstacles that I cannot even fathom or mm-hmm. even say. So to hear their strength and their resilience, it touches me inside in a deep place. And it's saying to me, wow, like there's so much beauty in this world. I know there's pain with the beauty, but, you know, they overcame. And now they're going out there and sharing their story. And, you know, I love seeing these people develop. From 1 year ago, there was a poet I knew. His name is Alex. And at first he was a little shy when he shared his poems, you know, and he talked a little bit quiet. But now he goes to so many open mics. He doesn't even need to read the poem from the paper. He performs it. And to see his evolution, it just makes me so proud. As a fellow poet, to watch somebody like that. And I'm encouraging him in the future to pursue his own book one day, and he will. So that's what I mean. I love cheering others on. So I'm going to continue to go to those. I also want to see if I could get more involved in the mental health aspect with the arts. I would love to be able to teach a class specifically for raising awareness for it, because we need not just our physical health, we also need our mental health as well, because they're equally important. And unfortunately, in today's society, there's still this stigmatization about,
right.
you know, going for help for that. And I want to break that. I want to be part of that movement, you know, to show that it's okay to seek help. In fact, you should, if you need, you know, if you feel the need, because you should never be too shy or afraid. If you mm-hmm. feel you need it. So I want to see if I could do classes like that somewhere in my neighborhood or in the surrounding areas and connect with people for that, you know, for children and adults. So that's another thing I see going on, you know, in the near future, and book signings in the near future, and getting my book within a physical space. Since I do own the ISBN number to the paperback uh-huh. version, I bought the ISBN because I want to make sure that it's not just going to be only on Amazon down the line. I want it to be in a physical store. So maybe a mom and pop shop, you know, around the area, and eventually Barnes and Noble. So I want it to reach as wide of an audience as possible, because I want this book to be able to help people the way it has helped me when I was writing and drawing these things from age 16 to 38. So, and I'm just going to continue to write. I'm going to continue to draw, create every day. I wake up and that's the first thing that, you know, in my mind, I get so excited. You know, I have a pen and paper literally always by my bed. So
that's a good thing. I should be doing that. Uh-huh.
No, because you never know when an idea is going to strike. It could hit you, you know, just before you go to sleep, you know, at 1
or
2
3
in the morning,
too much pizza, whatever it is. So
You know, sometimes it just randomly comes. So I always have pen and paper ready, and I will either sketch it down or I'll write it down. That way, when I wake up the next day, I have the baseline of something I might want to work on. Like I just was writing a poem about your health is your wealth. So this isn't in my book, but this is a poem that I was working on. I have it in front of me. So I don't know if you would mind me sharing it. It's not from the
Go
book,
ahead.
but it is something that I've been working on. So let me just explain real quick where this came from, this inspiration for this. I recently had a doctor's appointment. I always go, you know, we should be proactive about our health, get our yearly blood checkup. So my doctor told me, you know, there was a number there that didn't look right. He says, your ANA is high, your anti-nuclear antibody. He says, you might have lupus. I said, what? You know, and he scared me. He's like, but it might be a false positive. So, right. So I didn't have any symptoms. I Googled lupus. I don't have any bone issues. I have a lot of energy. So, you know, he made me retest 2 weeks later, and then he confirms it is a false positive. You're okay. And I was so over the moon. So never take your health for granted because that was a huge health scare. So that's where this inspiration for this poem came from. So it's called Your Health is Your Wealth. Never take for granted the gift of today. Tomorrow is never promised to see the light of day. Today is a gift of the present to unwrap. Open your eyes, see and greet your reflection in the mirror back. Cherish the moments as they come along. Together, they add up to the rhythm of your life's song. Please take care of your body and mind. You get this one chance. Don't leave yourself behind. Water them with nourishment, vitality, and friends. Compassion and dreams that you pursue until the end. Your body craves hydration. Your mind hungers for motivation. In the blink of an eye, the pendulum swings without hesitation. Your existence matters. You are heard. With every thought of your spoken words, eat the rainbow of the land, the fruits and vegetables that grow from the sand. Contain the vitality needed to heal your body, combined with mindfulness to help you gain clarity. Refuse to give in to the incessant pestering of foods from a lab. They will turn you into a zombie and make you mad. Sugars and oils clog your very core. They make you feel sluggish. They clog your pores. Refuse the toxic words of a hater. They want to drag you down like an alligator and swallow you whole just to regurgitate your empty shell. Put up your shield and banish them to the gates of hell. A person with all of the material riches they desire is broke without their health as they lie in the mire. Yet, a soul without a penny to their name, with their health, will be richer than one with fame. The key to our life lies within the temples of our body and mind. Treat and feed them with care and respect. They will thrive as the two internal systems connect. A balance of the scales needs to be achieved. Mental health and physical health are the two things that we need. They work together to fuel the fire of our life. They heal us from within and help us gain insight to reach our fullest potential. Our health is our wealth. It is priceless and it could grow exponential.
That is so amazing. Love it. Love it. That is terrific, Deborah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That was my most recent poem and inspired by a real life event. So a lot of my work, you know, it comes from things that I experience and I feel that others can relate to. Others in life must have had health scares and can see the value of both mental and physical health. So I want this poem to be out there as a dedication for them to remind them to take care of both parts of their body.
And
This
that's
part.
very, important indeed, too. Yes, indeed. And a couple other things. What do you consider biggest influence in your career?
Oh, I would have to say, well, there's a lot of people, but I'm going to have to go back to my great grandfather. You know, he's one of the biggest people. So if you want a specific person, I'm going to say him, because without him, that was the founding seed. So he was the first artist I got to experience, to watch, to see his passion grow. And he cheered me on and motivated me. But I also want to name a group of people. So there is no specific name, and you might find this a little bit strange, but the dedication in my book, I need to read this. So it actually goes like this. So I dedicate this collection of written and visual works to my mother, my biggest cheerleader and my rock of inspiration that has watered and nurtured my love of the arts since it was a seedling. My great-grandfather, my grandmother, stepdad, my fiance, my friends, and most of all, to my bullies. For without their presence in my life, these writings and paintings would have never, ever come to fruition. So the bullies, actually, you know, they're a huge inspiration, believe it or not. You know, you might not think that at first. You might say, why are you thanking people that put you down? Well, if I didn't have that experience, this book would not exist. It would be something else, maybe, but it wouldn't be that, because they fuel that fire in me to keep trying. You know, they put me down, they call me ugly, they call me a loser. Well, guess what? I'm going to prove them wrong, that I'm going to get to where I need to get to in life. And where are they now?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know what? I just hope that they realize what they did back when they were children and teenagers, because I know the adult mind is not fully formed until age 25. So I actually forgive them for everything they have done, because even though they were very harsh, they were coming from a place inside of them that was not whole. It was a place of insecurity. You know, they had a lot of pain. Maybe they came from a broken home. So I don't want to excuse their behavior, but I do know that they didn't fully understand, you know, how harsh their words were when they were children. So maybe now as adults, maybe now they're parents. So maybe they can see from a parent's point of view, you know, if their child is being bullied, like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that when I was young? So I'm hoping they break that cycle. You know, that cycle does have to be broken, because there are way too many children in the system being bullied and put down. And, you know, it leads to horrible things later in life, you know, and it makes them lose their sense of identity unless they find a savior like art, writing, music, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I want that cycle to be broken.
Exactly. That's a really good point as well. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
To anybody at this point?
In general.
Okay. Never give up. Never, ever give up. No matter what anybody tells you, if somebody says you're not good enough, if they put you down, they're projecting onto you. Do not take it personal. You just be the best version of yourself that you can be and take baby steps. It doesn't have to happen all at once. Your dream may not happen overnight, but if you take little increments every day, even if it's just that you wake up and you take a walk and you become inspired by that walk, it might lead to more and more things, but you're not going to know unless you try. So that's why I say, keep trying. Don't give up. Don't let somebody knock down your dreams, because the only person in charge of you, ultimately, who's driving that steering wheel? You're driving the steering wheel. You take that power back. You drive the steering wheel of your life and you control where you go. Anybody who tries to derail you, just knock them out of the way.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that.
You know, don't let them knock you down. You know, you don't let them. You put up that shield, that force shield, saying, nope, you're not going to get to me. You're not going to sink me down to that dark place, because I'm refuse to give in. I'm just going to keep going, because I did have a relative like that. I'm not going to name her name, but there was a female relative in my family that unfortunately knocked my mom's dreams of becoming an artist down the dream. Told my mom to give up her dream when she was a teenager. She said, you'll never make it. You're going to live in a box if you become an artist. Give it up. Do something else with your life. You know, you're never going to make it. And my mom, unfortunately, she listens. She had so much potential, but she gave it up when she was 13, 14. And it's a shame, because she had the same passion like me. She had that same gift, you know, of wanting to create all these whimsical characters. She wrote stories as well. So that's where my writing comes from. That same relative told me the same exact story when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. Oh, you know, yeah, you make nice art, but don't do that for a living, Debbie. You're not going to make it. You're going to live in a cardboard box. The only difference is I refused to listen. I was very stubborn. I said, no. My favorite word was no. So like, no, I'm not going to listen to you. So now this relative no longer speaks with us, unfortunately. She holds a grudge. And the irony is, she was an artist as well in the family, also on my maternal side. The only thing is, she gave up her dream. So now I realize she just projected all of her insecurities. She was actually the biggest bully of all.
Oh my gosh, wow.
I did not want to listen to her putting my potential down and stepping on my dreams. I'm not going to let anybody break that. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to prove wrong in the end. And, you know, that's all I can do is just try my best, you know, try to become who I'm meant to become, despite what others might try to do, including your own family members, which is really a shame. Those should be the people rallying for you in your corner. But guess what? Friends could be even more supportive than family sometimes. So, hey, as long as you have people who are your cheerleaders in the background, you know, who are there for you, who lift you up, you surround yourself with those kind of people in life, the ones who uplift you and you uplift in return. Those are the ones you need to surround yourself with to grow as an artist, as a person. You know, don't let that negativity in, because that's just going to bring you down to their low vibrational level, and you do not want to be there, because once you're down there, it's harder to get out when you're down here.
Right.
So you just eliminate that. You cut them out.
There you go. That's the best advice out there. Once again, with you, Melted Town, Deborah Camp of Musings Diner, open 24/7 here on the Mike Wagner Show. Deborah, very big thank you for time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you, or can people purchase or check out your book and check out your works?
Yeah, so you can contact me on Instagram at Art by Deb Camp. You could also contact me on Facebook, Art by Deborah Camp. You can find my book on Amazon. So if you type in Musings Diner, open 24/7 by Deborah Camp, you're going to find the book available as a paperback, a hardcover, or an ebook. If you go to Linktree Deborah Camp, you're going to find all the articles written about my work, including my merch shop that I have on multiple sites. But my main one I use is Redbubble. So Deborah Camp, redbubble.com. You could find my art there. And my email address, if you would like to personally reach out to me, is DeborahCamp@hotmail.com. So it's spelled DeborahCamp@hotmail.com. So if you have a personal inquiry about a commission, or if you just want to hear, you know, some words of inspiration, or have a chat with me, feel free to reach out that way as well. I would love to help others, you know, to achieve their dreams as well. So, yeah, I'm very open to opportunities, ideas, inspirations. And I feel like that's what you need to be in life. You cannot have a closed mind, because if your mind is closed and you have these barriers here, you're not going to be able to see what could have been, what should have been, what can
right.
be. You know, you're going to be that person, like in my first, you know, story, you're going to be that regret choice. You don't want to be that person, because then you can't turn back the hands of time. You know, you don't want to wake up one day 70, 80, 90 years old and say, oh no, I wasted my life. I stayed in this dead end job.
Right.
I'm miserable. Yeah, And that's what you see a lot of people like that. And it makes me so sad to see that. So I want to be able to influence somebody's life path to change it now while they still have the opportunity, while they still have their health, because their health is their wealth. So I want to make sure, you know, that I can help people realize their potential with my work, with my art, my poetry. And then they could be that choice of rejoice.
All right. That's certainly great inspiration. Once again, Deborah, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to AM soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. Wish all best. And Deborah, you definitely have a great future, have you?
Oh, thank you so much. You too, Mike. Keep going. Keep interviewing all these wonderful people and share their stories with the world, because the world needs more positivity in this negative shadow that we currently have. So let's push it going the other way. You know, let's downplay the negative and upplay the positive. And that's what we need to do.